Our show's name pays tribute to the Voortrekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Voortrekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Fast, because we want to play a great tape for you in honor of Pearl Harbor Day. Rock and roll, Sam.
We cannot allow the natural passions and prejudices of other peoples to lead our country to destruction. The Roosevelt administration is the third powerful group which has been carrying this country toward war. Its members have used the... Its members have used the war emergency to obtain a third presidential term for the first time in American history. They have used the war to add unlimited billions to a debt which was already the highest we have ever known. And they have used the war to justify the restriction of congressional power and the assumption of dictatorial procedures on the part of the president and his appointees. The power of the Roosevelt administration depends upon the maintenance of a wartime emergency. The prestige of the Roosevelt administration depends upon the success of Great Britain, to whom the president attached his political future at a time when most people thought that England and France could easily win the war. The danger of the Roosevelt administration lies in its subterfuge. While its members have promised us peace, they have led us to war, heedless of the platform upon which they were elected. In selecting these three groups as the major agitators for war, I have included only those whose support is essential to the war party. If any of these groups, the British, the Jewish, or the administration, stops agitating for war, I believe there will be little danger of our involvement. I do not believe that any two of them are powerful enough to carry this country to war without the support of the third. And to these three, as I have said, all other groups are of secondary importance. When hostilities commenced in Europe in 1939, it was realized by these groups that the American people had no intention of entering the war. They knew it would be worse than useless to ask us for a declaration of war at that time. But they believed that this country could be enticed into the war in very much the same way that it was enticed into the last one. They planned, first, to prepare the United States for foreign war under the guise of American defense. Second, to involve us in the war step by step, without our realization. Third, to create a series of incidents which would force us into the actual conflict. These plans were, of course, to to be covered and assisted by the full power of their propaganda. Our theaters soon became filled with plays portraying the glory of war. Newsreels lost all semblance of objectivity. Newspapers and magazines began to lose advertising if they carried anti-war articles. A smear campaign was instituted against individuals who opposed intervention. The terms fifth columnist, traitor, Nazi, anti-Semitic were thrown ceaselessly at anyone who dared to suggest that it was not to the best interests of the United States to enter war. Men lost their jobs if they were frankly anti-war. Many others dared no longer speak. Before long, lecture halls that were open to advocates of war were closed to speakers who opposed it. A fear campaign was inaugurated. We were told that aviation, which has held the British fleet off the continent of Europe, made America more vulnerable than ever before to invasion. Propaganda was in full swing. There was no difficulty in obtaining billions of dollars for arms under the guise of defending America. Our people stood united on a program for defense. Congress passed appropriation after appropriation for guns and planes and battleships with the approval of the overwhelming majority of our citizens. That a large portion of these appropriations was to be used to build arms for Europe, we did not learn until later. That was another step. To use a specific example, in 1939, we were told that we should increase our Air Corps to a total of 5,000 planes. Congress passed the necessary legislation. A few months later, the administration told us that the United States should have at least 50,000 planes for our national safety. But almost as fast as fighting planes were turned out from our factories, they were sent abroad, although our own Air Corps was in the utmost need of new equipment. So that today, 2 years after the start of war, the American Army has only a few hundred thoroughly modern bombers and fighters. Less, in fact, than Germany is able to produce in a single month. Ever since its inception, our arms program has been laid out for the purpose of carrying on the war in Europe far more than for the purpose of building an adequate defense for America. Only one thing holds this country from war today. That is the rising opposition of the American people. Our system of our system of democracy and representative government is on test today.
People, I hate to leave this tape, but we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go back. If we'll talk about this. This is the dynamite tape that Matt found. We'll join you right back in the second segment, people.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. We're going to go right. This is a dynamite tape that Matthew Goodwin found for us. We've got to finish playing. It's only about a minute and a half left, so hang on. Sam's going to finish playing this tape, and we're going to talk about it. It's dead center for Pearl Harbor Day. Go ahead, Sam. Thank you, Sam.
As it has never been before, we are on the verge of a war in which the only victor would be chaos and frustration. We are on the verge of war for which we are still unprepared and for which no one has offered a feasible plan of victory. A war which cannot be won without sending our soldiers across an ocean to fight and to force a landing on a hostile coast against armies stronger than our own. We are on the verge of war, but it is not yet too late to stay out. It is not yet too late to show that no amount of money or propaganda or patronage can force a free and independent people into war against its will.
Okay, people, that's the end of the tape, and that's about the most dynamite tape I've heard. And since Matt Goodwin found that tape, we're going to bring him on, and we're going to bring Matt Goodwin on, and then we're going to bring our guest on. As you know, everybody, the first Saturday of the month, we always have a rep on from League of the South. Ike's not going to be on this week. This week we have Joel Price. If you hadn't heard him before, but be ready, because you're going to hear a lot more from him. Ike and Dr. Hill are going to use him a lot for speaking purposes. When he starts talking, you'll know. Matt, if you will, since you found that tape, and I thank you so much, Matt, tell the people a little bit about that tape, and we'll talk about that for a few seconds, and we'll bring Joel in. We'll talk about that tape and how this tape, by the way, people, that was Charles Lindbergh, the Lindbergh of the Spirit of St. Louis, giving that tape. Go ahead, Matt. I don't want to talk anymore. It's your baby. You found it. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, unfortunately, it is too late. Because as our audience knows, December 7th, 1941, we were attacked by a Japanese fleet and of airplanes just attacking Pearl Harbor. And that catapulted us right into a war that Charles Lindbergh himself said over 80% of Americans in 1939 did not want to be in. And what consistently kept happening is the war lobby in this country kept pushing for more arms creation, more all in the name of self-defense. You heard it from Charles Lindbergh, the great American hero. This man, he received the Flying Cross from Coolidge, Calvin Coolidge, I believe. He was an American hero. He flew the first transatlantic flight across the Atlantic. This great American hero went on a speaking tour to try to persuade Americans to get involved in their political situation because they're about to face a world war. Thank you to the Zionists and the corrupt politicians that were running this country at the time. FDR was corrupt. He wanted that war. He was pushing for it. There's a well-known investigation right in 1941. First of all, Admiral James O. Richardson over the Pacific Naval Fleet, he warned about an impending attack possibly on Pearl Harbor. This he warned about this right before it even happened. So FDR couldn't deny that he was warned about this. Also, there's a famous incident with a spy. It was called the Dr. Morey Intercept. On December 3rd, the intelligence agencies intercepted this Japanese spy who was supposedly a dentist on Pearl Harbor, and he was communicating back to mainland Japan. And they intercepted the spy on the 3rd. They knew that Pearl Harbor was going to be a target. They knew about this ahead of time, and unfortunately, FDR had already spent months preparing us to get into that war. So it's a tragic event, and once again, we praise and we honor and revere men who sacrificed their lives. We have no disrespect for them, but the people that led them to that brink of destruction, the people that destroyed our country, that's who we're mad about. Those people need they need retribution from God. So that's it. And that was the great Charles Lindbergh. So back to you, Eddie.
Well, thank you so much. You know what? There's so many points here I could address, and I'm going to go to Joel now. And Joel, me and I've got some questions for Joel. Lee's got for some questions. But before we go do anything like that, we're going to introduce Joel. How are you doing tonight, Joel, my friend, my brother?
Brother, I am doing very well. I appreciate being on, man. I'd like to remind everybody that we must secure the existence of our people and a future for the white children.
Amen. How's it feel to be on with you got two other brothers here from the League of the South, and one that's going to soon be a brother. I'm a League of the League of the South. So is Matthew Goodwin. We're going to fight together. We eat together. We sleep together. We'll die together if we have to.
I'm very excited to be amongst brothers, Eddie. You know that, man. I am just blown away. I'm so excited to see about how much growth. I'm very excited about some things that Matt said. I liked how he was talking about that some of these folks that caused World War II need retribution from God. And I'd go so far as to say if we can't get that, maybe we can at least get a few of them hung in the South.
Amen. Amen. We're all hardcore here. I talk about the hardcore. We're not the little boys of the alt-right. We're hardcore right. But let me ask you, I'm getting really excited here. What do you think about, can you see any, Joel, can you see, and this is kind of a rhetorical question, what commonalities can you see of what Charles Lindbergh talked about the subterfuge, about the New Dealers? There was a book called The New Leaders War, addressed all this, about He was hammering FDR and all the newspapers were hammering about we need all this military stuff for, America's defense. When people, if somebody working on a job, if they said that they were against the war, they would lose their job. Newspapers lost advertising. Who did that? Our Jewish brothers, bless them their heart, they would withhold advertising. They control the news, they control the all the propaganda apparatus, the theaters. They talked about that endlessly. The guy said that the theaters were pumped up. I'm rambling on here, Joel. What similarities can you see what went on then, what's going on to now? You could even hook it to what's going on in Charlottesville next year with Dr. Hill. Take it away, Joel. I hope I didn't confuse you more than I confused myself.
No, sir. Well, one thing, I think Lindbergh was probably saying a lot of prophetic things about people getting doxxed and that those things would even happen back then. But you, how you were talking about the Jew-controlled media, today being Pearl Harbor Day, don't get me wrong, just like Matt said, you know, all love and respect in the world to the veterans. But speaking of the Jew media, tomorrow on the White Power calendar is the 25th anniversary of the United States federal government conspiring against and burning alive Robert J. Matthews on Wimby Island in Washington. That happened 25 years ago. America was doing it in 1984. They did it at Pearl Harbor. We all know that Pearl Harbor was just the harbinger of a Jew proxy war. We know that we got a bunch of Japanese fellas, you know, a bunch of Jews dressed up like Japanese fellas coming to Pearl Harbor. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, but it is exactly the truth. When you, I'm very fortunate to have a very dear Christian identity minister in my life, and he loves to make sure that I see things the right way, like any good minister would. World War II was a Jew proxy war. Everything Matt said is 100% truth. Charles Lindbergh sounds like the smartest guy in the world, or sounds like he had a time machine, because he's definitely talking about the world.
Joel, unfortunately, we have to go to a quick break. We'll come back. I think my co-host Lee, you know Lee all too well. Lee's got a couple questions for you too, Joel. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seat.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
The Supreme Court on Friday blocked the Trump administration from restarting federal executions next week after a 16-year break. The justices denied the administration's plea to undo a lower court ruling in favor of inmates who had been given execution dates. The first of those had been set for Monday, with a second set for Friday. Attorney General William Barr announced during the summer that federal executions would resume using phenobarbital to put inmates to death. Federal executions are now likely to remain on hold for at least several months while the appeals court in Washington undertakes a full investigation. The state of New York is moving ahead with a law that will raise the minimum wage to $15 statewide on New Year's Eve. Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo's budget director said several studies show New York's gradual increase in the minimum wage has not caused a loss in jobs. This is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've been telling you for quite some time how MyPillow has given me the best sleep I've ever had with my MyPillow Deluxe Pillow. Well, now, through the Radio Listener Special, there's a lot of things you can save through the MyPillow Radio Listener Special, but the best deal now is a buy one, get one free offer on the Deluxe MyPillow Premium Pillows. Pick up a MyPillow right now, and yourself and a loved one. Best way to do it. And guess what? We've talked about the 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee, but orders placed between October 15th and December 25th will have their 60-day money-back guarantee extended through March 1st, 2020. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, enter promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 for the buy one, get one free special. Two MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one with that extended warranty. Do it now.
China is waiving punitive tariffs on U.S. soybeans and pork while the two sides negotiate a trade deal. Negotiators are working on the details of a Phase 1 agreement announced in October by President Donald Trump. The two sides have raised tariffs on billions of dollars of each other's goods, disrupting global trade and threatening to depress economic growth. Another U.S. tariff hike on an additional $160 billion of Chinese imports is due to take place on December 15th. Defense Secretary Mark Esper said the Trump administration is keeping a close eye on unrest in Iran and Iraq, but sees no immediate need to send substantial numbers of additional U.S. forces to the region. He said, "Right now, we believe we have sufficient capability in that theater to deter what we need to deter." He said he routinely reviews the adequacy of U.S. military forces in all regions of the globe. He said this also includes the volatile Middle East, where the Pentagon has already added about 14,000 troops since May. This is USA Radio News.
being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back. We have Joel Price, our special guest tonight for the League of the South. We didn't really, ordinarily we wouldn't start covering something as heavy duty as Pearl Harbor when we have the League of the South on. But we're going to get to the League of the South updates too. But before we go, Lee, my brother Lee, wants to ask Joel a question. But before we do, I'm going to kick another tidbit in that Matt sent me. Matt's on fire. He sent me this thing about this Mickey Marcus, David Daniel Mickey Marcus. And this has to do with what we're talking about. He was a Jewish American. He was a Jew. He was a colonel, a full colonel in the United States Army. Fought World War II. Briefly, he was at, I think, Operation Overlord when, you know, the Allies, so-called Allies invaded Germany. But guess where he died? Now, get this right. Get this down. He was an American citizen, a full colonel in the United States Army. He died, and Matt Goodwin sent this to us. He died fighting under the Israeli flag in the Israeli Arab War of 1948. I mean, it's unbelievable, people. And guess where he's buried? He's buried at West Point. So that tells me way yonder before now, and, you know, even before World War II, the Jews had already infiltrated the State Department. They were, you know, smothering FDR. They were even there. They put Woodrow Wilson in to get the Federal Reserve in. I mean, it's just never ending. They're just everywhere. So, Lee, you had a question, I believe.
Yeah, I just got a comment. I just want to tell Joe and everybody else that a few days before Pearl Harbor, it was in a Honolulu newspaper. I saw it. It was saying that the Japanese to attack this weekend. And I put that, it's on Ralph Epperson's Facebook. Spot if they haven't took it down, but I've got it on my computer, and that was just a couple of days. You know, that was a weekend. It said Japan to strike this weekend, so it was everybody knew about it. About the people who needed to know about it, but that's proof right there. You know, so I just wanted to let everybody know in our knowledge base, and that was just something else, Joe.
You know, World War II consumed 400,000 American lives. And like Eddie said, the war wasn't over in 1945 because we had men going to Israel in 1948. Actual enlisted military of the Americans going to Israel and fighting in the 1948 war for Israel. Now, you tell me that that wasn't a ploy, the whole World War II event wasn't a ploy to use the Goyim and to destroy us and just use us to get Israel.
Matt, you're 100% correct because, you know, at the end of the day, and I try to make things in a lot more simple than the average bear, you got too many industrious, proud white people throughout the globe. We have to do something about that because we can't have that. You have too much of that. You have too much peace, love, and progress. So these Jews come in, they create problems where they shouldn't be. And one of the main points that I want to try to make is that you have so many guys that do not look at any kind of parallel between the war against the South and World War II. Both of these were war against white people. Both of these were wars against independent white people who wanted to further their own interests and not others. And you have so many guys nowadays that just absolutely, but World War II is so demonized because of what the fellas did in Europe and all of those kind of things. And you just, no one will ever see the parallels. Listening to Charles Lindbergh doesn't sound a whole lot different than what you would have heard of a Southern politician talking about pre-war, I don't think. Do you?
The same Yankee army that went down south and fought our Confederate ancestors is the same Yankee army that went in 1940 to the beaches of Normandy and beyond into Germany. Yes,
and killed all our brothers and sisters there.
It's the same Yankee army. I don't care if you had an ancestor. I had two ancestors that fought for America in World War II, and I'm proud of their service. I'm proud of they were brave men. But the reality is, it's the same Yankee army, and my grandfathers were not were not setting up the policies of the American government. So I've had men who had Southern ancestors who defend the South, but then turn and say, we were the good guys in World War II. You can't have it both ways. I'm sorry.
Well, Matt, let me ask Matt a question real quick, if I may, man.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you and I are obviously on the same page. So you mean to tell me, let's say some things go different at Chickamauga, and maybe we listen to Forrest, and maybe we do some things, and history turns out a little bit differently. You mean to tell me 70 years later, our great-grandpas that were fighting the same Yankee army you're talking about are fixing to hop in a boat and go kill their brothers and sisters a world away? I don't believe that by any stretch of the imagination. When you use the word Yankee army, that says it just, I mean, I fully believe Yankee is just another word for Jew.
I take it as a word for Washington, D.C. and Jew, yes. Absolutely.
Matt, would you agree, though? It's definitely not trying to put words in your mouth, man, but you know what I'm saying? Our great-grandpas probably weren't, you know, didn't really care what some old rednecks were doing in Germany, I wouldn't imagine.
No, I don't think so. No, actually, both of my granddads, neither of them wanted the war. They would have fallen in that 80%. Charles Lindbergh said 80% of Americans in 1939 did not want to go to war. And, what, 6 years later, he's proven right. I mean, 400,000 dead Americans for nothing. And then we're going straight over to the U.S.-Israel-Arab War in 1948 to secure territory for Israel. I'm sorry, I don't get down with that program. That's just not... Not my version of what I call good. What do you
Something
think?
And guys, we don't. Well, let me chime in just one second. And guys, we talk about 400,000. In my, it's probably over a million. You know, if the truth be known. But you know what? And we don't talk about the 60 million other white brothers and sisters killed in Lithuania, Bulgaria, Romania, Ukraine. You know, all parts of Russia, Germany, France, Italy. I mean, millions and millions and millions of Christians. You're so right, Joel. You're so right, Matt. It's been a war, the whole damn thing, World War One, the Civil War. So World War One is kind of like a continuation of the Civil War. You know, it was just kill whitey, kill white Christians. And with that, people, Lee, you had something to say.
Just,
you had to ask a question.
I'm just saying that really Fort Sumter was a type of false flag because it made – Lincoln, you know, forced the issue, and he tricked the North into attacking when they could have reasoned it out a little bit more before they started shooting at people. And like I've said before, the Republican Party forced Lincoln to set up the South to make them look bad.
Let me ask Joel a question. Joel, was 9/11 our... Was that our Pearl Harbor, 2001 Pearl Harbor?
I really don't even think that you can consider it, man. I think 9/11 gets a lot of emphasis put on it, basically because it's fresher in our memories. You got to remember Pearl Harbor. That was pure newspapers. 9/11, you know, the advent of the internet. You're seeing it on TV. You know, you already have the cameras pointed at the buildings before the planes even get there. What does that tell you? I really don't think that it's the watershed moment that everybody thinks of in terms of galvanizing the American spirit. I do think it was a watershed moment as far as being a gigantic red pill for some folks out there that already felt like something was rotten in Tel Aviv. I think it woke a lot of people up, man, from that standpoint. But I don't think it was like a galvanizing for the American spirit. I do think it was a galvanizing moment for what you call the hard right, Eddie.
Well, you know what, Joel? Our brother, Buddy, we have another brother, Buddy from Arkansas, wants to ask you a question. Hey, Buddy, how you doing, fella?
Doing pretty good there. Listen, I heard the program tonight, and this situation on war just causes me to go ballistic. Because as General Butler of World War One said, war is a racket. And he pointed out in his book that there were 21,000 new millionaires in America at the end of World War One. Now, that tells us an awful lot there. And Charles Lindbergh's speech and his other writings concern that. It ought to be taught in every school. Of course, we know the schools are gone. But the very idea of war, as our early president, James Madison, let me give you this little quote. He said, "There is also an inequality of fortunes and the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state of war, plus a degeneracy of manners and morals. No nation can preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare."
Buddy, hold that question. Hold that thought. God bless you, buddy. I'm glad you called. Hold on, buddy. We're going. We got to go to a break. Don't go anywhere. I think Joel may have a question for you. You may have a question for Joel or Matt. Be right back, people. Hold on to your seat.
So you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Well, people, I hope y'all enjoy that music as much as I do. I certainly love that music. Mr. Buddy, we're going right back to you. Continue on what you were doing. By the way, I'd just like to tell everybody, Buddy is a man among men. If you want to know the truth, I can't carry his dirty socks. No one else I can that I know can. I salute you, Mr. Buddy. You're hardcore. You've been in the movement longer than I have, and you've supported us. I love you to death, my brother. So continue on, Mr. Buddy. Men, a buddy is a brother. He is, and Joel and Matt, they know what I mean. Go ahead, Mr. Buddy.
He is. Okay. Yeah, you know, I have been studying this stuff for quite a few years. I doubt if there are too many people read more books concerning World War One and World War Two than I have. In this part of the country especially. And there was so much collusion and treachery between Churchill, that drunken bum, and the devious FDR. Now, to prove that FDR, you know, he was campaigning that our boys would never fight in a foreign war. Well, the Queen of the Netherlands was in exile in England, and she was making regular broadcasts across the English Channel to her people in the Netherlands. And in April of 1941, in one of her broadcasts, she stated that America was coming to their aid, but Roosevelt said the time was not quite right. That's 8 months almost before Pearl Harbor. The deep state, or whatever you want to call these crooks that run America, whatever they were up to, they were doing it way back then. And the premier of Japan, his name was Fumimaro Konoe, he offered to meet with Roosevelt on two occasions. He contacted various people in Washington to tell Roosevelt he would meet with Roosevelt to stop this war that was obviously coming. And he said he would meet Roosevelt in either Alaska or Hawaii. Neither one was states at that time. And Roosevelt didn't even have the decency to answer the man, because Roosevelt wanted that war. And that just shows you the treachery that's in the leadership of this country. And yet we want to run out there and wave our flag and all this kind of stuff. We beat those bad Japanese and the Germans and all of that. And as you said earlier, almost 500,000 American boys died in that, most of them white boys. So yes. I've said my 2 cents. And you know, there was something else to think about. As General Butler of World War One fame said, war is a racket. And if you will really analyze the numerous conflicts that America has been in, that the last defensive war that America fought was in 1812. That far back, there's so much money to be made in war. And the last time the United States officially declared war was in December of 41. How many wars have we fought since then with no declaration of war?
Korea, Vietnam, Afghanistan, only no.
Sir?
Oh, so Korea, Vietnam, my war?
I just wanted, sir?
Oh, I was backing up what you said, Mr. Brady.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm having a little problem hearing, but I'll turn the program back over to you. But I just wanted to point out that fact. And if there are two people that should have been skinned alive regarding World War II, it was Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt.
Amen.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Mr. Buddy. You call in anytime you want to. God bless you, fellow. God bless you so much. You're
Thank
such
you.
A blessing to me and to all of Blood River. I think Lee wants to chime in. I guess Lee, did you have a question for Joel?
No.
Okay. Joel, what do you have to say about that, fella?
Well, one of the things, man, that Mr. Buddy said right there, it's not just the exorbitant amount of white Americans that died. Think about who this exorbitant amount of white Americans killed. They killed other white men, other white boys. I say pretty racially aware ones. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, you want to throw out the words like genocide and the Holocaust. That was the real Holocaust, because you're having literally at that moment in time in history, the cream of the white crop killing the cream of the white crop. Eddie, I know one thing, and I don't mean to say this trying to sound funny, but I use the H word. I want to go ahead and throw it out there. Say I deny the Holocaust. It did not happen. The real Holocaust was between these white soldiers, these good white Christian soldiers, fighting in foreign lands against other good white Christians. And you just think about the billions, just the absolute DNA that was wasted, the upward spirals of this DNA that was just wasted on these battlefields for these Jew masters, man. And I think Mr. Buddy hit it completely on the head, man. If we could get our hands on Churchill and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I know we used Skin 'em Alive, but once again, you know, I'm from Alabama. We can get a few ropes and some trees together down here for them.
Well, sure. Well, you know, Matt can tell you as well as I can. Matt, tell them a little bit about the real Holocaust that went on with the 60 million under the Jewish-controlled Soviet Union from 1920s all the way to the 1956. Tell them about that, Matt.
So they rounded
okay.
up.
Well, listen, buddy, let me go.
Hold it no more.
I can hear you a little bit better on the radio, so I'll hang up and be listening for you.
Okay, Mr. Buddy. Thank you so much.
But, hey, buddy, thanks, before you buddy. Go, are you there, buddy? Okay, so.
He dropped him, Matt.
That's okay. But he got me thinking that I need to go back and do a little bit more studies in the Netherlands because he had me interested. I wonder if Anton Mussert and the nationalists there exiled their queen so that they could reclaim power over that country and lead it back in a godly direction. I'm gonna have to go and do a lot more research in that. The Holodomor, that first of all, the Soviets, they were starving all these Ukrainians, and then they started building these gulags all across Russia. But they, where Adolf Hitler had 1,200 camps, the gulags were only about 100 to 300 camps, something, I forget the exact number, it's like 180 or something like that.
400 according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
400 camps, okay. Well,
412, right around there, go ahead.
In my research, it was a significant amount fewer than National Socialists, and according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn, they slaughtered over 60 million Russian people, authentic, genuine Russian people. And he said to others, he said, don't forget that the socialist, the Marxist, communist revolution in Russia was not being led by Russians. Who was it being
Amen.
Led by, Eddie?
You know, it was being led by the 1% Jews that led the NKV there, the same Christian-hating, Christ-hating, white men-hating Jews. I'm telling it like it is, people. I know, you know, people say we're too hardcore here, but I think you'll agree with me that my definition of hardcore is you tell the truth the first time, every time, no matter how hard it is. What do you think about that, Joel?
Eddie, I think that's exactly the truth, and I think it's the only way to be, especially in this day and age. We don't have time to waste. It's very important to say things, say what you mean, and mean what you say. That's where you find brotherhood and sisterhood. People do not have time to mess around listening to falsehoods from their own people. If you want to hear a lie, if you don't want to hear the truth, cut on your news. If you want to hear the truth, you want to hear it, just like you said earlier about punching to the right. I love that. Hardcore, hard right, Eddie, every time, man. That's the only way.
And then Eddie, we had an email from a listener, and we need to address the content of that email.
Okay, kind of refresh my. Hey Matt, get on that. Before we forget, you told me, you reminded me, Joel has some news about some Antifa news. Joel, you have some. Before we forget, we're almost out of time. Joel, what about this news about the Antifa?
Well, from what we understand, man, they're organizing it like you guys have known in North Carolina. Definitely attacking monuments, attacking flags that have been put up on private property. This was all done by some good brothers and sisters in response to the monument coming down at the Chatham County Courthouse, just showing them that, hey, that we are here. Even as far away as Denver, Colorado today, some Second Amendment rallies were going on because they've got a very stringent red flag law. Antifa was present there. One thing to very much look forward to and keep on the agenda, Dr. Hill is calling for every white nationalist, every Southern nationalist in the fall of 2020 to be in the streets of Charlottesville during the court case to show everyone, to show the world that the white nationalist movement, that the hard right movement, that the Southern nationalist movement is still alive. Charlottesville did not end it. It only intensified it.
Amen. Amen. You know, and I'm sure Matt would agree. And Sam made reference a week or two ago that what we saw at Charlottesville was just, that's just a bitty Charlottesville, the start of total breakdown in this country. If the constitutional sheriffs that Sam tried to get together to get into, to try to get them to get the ball rolling to reverse this tyrannical, out of control communist government, that we're going to have a massive short sale. I'm sorry we didn't get to the email, but I wanted to, Matt reminded me, we need to get Joel to get that announcement out. Matt, we'll get to the email. We'll come back for the next show. Don't let us forget about that. Thank you so much, Joel. Thank you, Matt.
Man. Listen,
Jacob.
Good to hear from you.
Bertha. You got to come back on. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Sam, so much. God knows I love you guys. I love you so much. I'd fight with you anytime. I'd die for you. God bless you. People, tune in again same time next week. God willing, we'll be here with another Dynamite show. We just don't have enough time. Please send us some money so we can stay on the air. We're struggling. Thank you so much.